It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy. I am doing something that very rarely happens on his Liberty News radio show. Someone live is filling in. And Ernie's morning show just ended a week ago Friday. And I am I was the one that just solely filled in for Ernie, and I filled in a few times on Liberty News radio, but it's been a little bit. And I am so glad to be back with you. We got a really good show today. It's August 25th, 2010. And in the first hour, this is the first time I've done a three-hour show. My goodness, this is going to be a long time, but we're going to have a great time. And I got three individual types of topics that I want to talk about during the three-hour show. In the first hour, I want to talk about liberty. I want to break down liberty, and I want to break it down in a way that we can all understand. I want to talk about what liberty means to us, and you know, we're going to talk about some quotes from some great, great minds that have a vested interest and spent a lot of their life and their time talking about liberties. And then in the second hour, we have, because in five states yesterday, they held primary elections around the country, including the state of Arizona. So I'm going to be talking at length about, in the third hour, I guess, of the election results around the country and what they mean to us. You know, personally, I don't really care too much about electoral politics because I'm in revolution right now. You know, and there's a quote by John Adams that basically says, you know, The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the hearts and minds of the people, a change in their religious sentiments and their duties and obligations. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affectations of the people was the real American Revolution. You know, the violence of a revolution is something that comes as a side effect. It's a side effect in the powers that be trying to maintain their control over the populace. And so I don't really participate in the electoral process, but I know that a lot of people do. And I'm more of an agorist, I guess. I'm a voluntarist. I believe in free association among citizens without government intervention. So we're going to talk about that in the third hour. In the second hour, I have J.T. Waldron coming on with me, and he is the director of a film called Fatally Flawed. The problems are inside, the solutions are outside. And it says, when big money is involved, do our votes really count? And it's a really involved, interesting story. I've had him on the morning show when it was on, and he's really good to talk to. And the thing is especially in the state of Arizona, there's, you know, a lot of the people in the film are intimately tied to the elections that went on yesterday. So we're going to be talking about that in the second hour with J.T. Waldron. Again, I'd love to hear from you. 866-986-6397. I know that Ernie doesn't typically like to take phone calls, but I'm not Ernie. I mean, we have a lot of the same sort of belief sets, you know, all about individual liberty. But, you know, I'm not Ernie. And I like to talk to people. I think the very cornerstone of any free society is the open and unfettered exchange of ideas. Whether you agree with me or not, whether you believe in what I'm saying or not, I like to talk about it. So I'd love to hear from you. 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. So the first quote that I want to talk about is, we're going to jump right into this, about liberty. What is liberty? It is our freedoms, right? We talk a lot about liberty. We talk a lot about freedoms. But what does it mean? To me, liberty means that I get to live my life as I see fit, as long as I don't commit force or fraud on another individual. And everybody else can do whatever they want to do as long as they do not commit force or fraud upon me. But we all know that what's going on in this country right now, and it's been going on for a long time, is pretty much the antithesis of that. And, you know, there's someone said it way better than I could, so I'm going to read this, and I think you all know who it is, but this really, really grasps you. You know, many people only know the very last line, but there's so much more that it's involved in it, and it's a quote by Patrick Henry, the great Virginian that was, you know, at the very cornerstone of the freedom movement, the American Revolution. And he says, "It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country. Should I keep back my opinions at such a time through fear of giving offense? Should I consider myself as guilty of treason towards my country and an act of disloyalty towards the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings? Are we disposed to be the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so dearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it. Almighty God, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Those are some powerful words, and they mean so very much to me. You know, let's break it down a little bit. You know, should I keep back my opinions at this time through fear of giving offense or to making someone else feel uncomfortable? I can't do that. You know, there's a lot of people anybody that's been in the freedom movement for any length of time has lost a lot of people in their lives that have literally turned their backs on them because they have chosen to fight the, quote, powers that be and stand up for individual liberty. And again, what is that liberty? That's the right to be left alone. Like Ernest always says, there's two kinds of people in this world. Those that want to be left alone and those that will not leave them alone. And I have chosen to take a stand, to mark my line in the sand, that I will not tolerate the usurpation of my individual liberties any longer. Because as Jefferson said, and I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, the people are very, you know, understanding, and they're willing to give and give and give and understand of their government for any length of time until it becomes to the point where it can no longer be tolerated. And that day is approaching quickly, and we need to learn to break free of these chains that are holding us back as far as even just discussing openly. One thing that has been, I've noticed, that has been dearly lost in this country is the ability for us to agree to disagree. And again, other than the unfettered exchange of ideas, the ability to disagree, to agree to disagree, is the very cornerstone of a free society as well. And it kind of goes along with that. So we have to learn to, you know, like a perfect example is the mosque at Ground Zero. I think of it as a huge distraction, nothing more. You know, it's all being funded by Fox News, and the guy that's the imam is member of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's all just one big snow job to get us fighting amongst ourselves, which is, it's all a divide and conquer job. And if you look at all these different topics that we have, you know, the border, the immigration issue, the gay marriage, the mosque at Ground Zero, we're all looking at things that are meant to keep us fighting amongst ourselves, and they get to do whatever they want. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, we're going to talk about it a little bit more, talk a little bit more about liberty, discuss some of these quotes that I've printed out. We'll be right back in just a minute. Love to hear from you. 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. Be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And, my name is Jet Lacy. I'm filling in for Ernest. He went out boating today. You know, he didn't plan on coming in at all because I don't think he could tolerate doing one more post-primary election show. And so he had booked it to go out on one of the man-made lakes here in Arizona, Canyon Lake, I think, and go out in his boat and enjoy the beautiful day because it's real hot and it's a lot nicer when you can be out there on a boat. So I hope Ernest and Donna and everybody out there having a great time. We got a lot of stuff going on here today in the Freedom's Phoenix studios. We got all kinds of people doing all kinds of activism, sitting around talking, you know, changing the world, trying to take over the world, I guess. And I don't know. It's not working so far, but we're going to still keep plugging at it. So we're talking about liberty, and it's such an important thing, and it's one of those, I guess, words that we use on a regular basis when we that I guess kind of loses its meaning. When we keep just saying it over and over and over again, we don't really think about the concept of what liberty really means. And freedom isn't free. You know, it costs, there's always a cost of blood in it and treasure. And so it costs a lot of money and it costs a lot of people's lives to stay free. Because you are born free, but I tell you what, there's a whole lot of people that want to work moment by moment, day by day, to take that freedom away from you. And you have to learn to be able to stand up for yourself, because we have been conditioned over and over and over to try to let, to I guess, farm out our self-protection. We're not allowed to stand up for ourselves. We're not allowed to defend ourselves. We always, you know, look at how many people there are. It's always call the police, call 911. They pitch that to you moment by moment, but, you know, 911 is not there to protect you. It is there to protect the order of the United States and the municipality of wherever you're at. It has nothing to do, if you ask the police, they are not there to protect you. They're there to protect order. So we have to take our individual liberties and we have to take responsibility for them. We have to own them. We have to learn to be so very jealous of our individual liberties that no one can take them. You know, I wouldn't let anybody take my wife. I love my wife. She's my number one. She's my best friend I ever had. But I tell you what, you know, if someone come and try to take my wife, I'm going to get real upset. And other than that, I'm a real nice guy. I'm friendly. I don't, you know, aggress on anybody unless they aggress on me. But we have to take the same approach with our liberties and our freedoms. But again, when I say that, it comes with a cost. Nothing is free. We have to stand up for our liberties because there is a long, long line of people that would love to take them away from you and to make you take your time and effort to benefit them. So getting back to talking about some of these quotes, and I tell you what, I went through today and I was looking through all these quotes, and there's so many quotes of that are so good of people talking about liberty. It's really hard to pinpoint just a few that mean the most to me. But this one by William O. Douglas, who was the longest serving Supreme Court justice in the history of the Supreme Court. He was appointed by FDR and served all the way to Gerald Ford, I believe, in 1975. I came across this. I first heard about William O. Douglas when I was at Goodwill with my wife, which is, you know, a flea market type of store. And my wife likes to go look through things, and I kind of look for books. And I found this book called The Anatomy of Liberty. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to look at that. And I bought it. It was from the 60s in pristine condition. And I had never even heard of William O. Douglas before that. And I read this book, and it absolutely blew me away. And, you know, to what he was, and you never hear Supreme Court justices speaking like this anymore. You know, he has a few good quotes that I wanted to talk about today. But when we talk about liberty, the liberty is an idea, and ideas do not die. People come and go in this world, but ideas do not die. And ideas are, and William O. Douglas says, ideas are indeed the most dangerous weapon in the world. Our ideas of freedom are the most powerful political weapons man has ever forged. And if you really think about what he's saying, you cannot destroy an idea. You cannot destroy liberty because it's only an idea. You can take it away, but it's still there. It's always there, ready to be taken back. You know, despotism and tyranny are, they're temporary situations, really. I mean, they can last many, many lifetimes, but the freedom and the individual liberty are there because we're born with it. It's our God-given individual rights, because if you believe, as I do, that we were born of in the image of our Creator, and our Creator is free, then we were born free. Oh, we're going to go. We got a caller. Oh, my goodness. Joan from Indiana. I think I know who this is. Joan, are you with me?
I am, Jed. I'm calling in to give you some love.
Love you, Joan. It's been a long time. You know, you're, now that you're living all the way in Indiana, what's going on?
Oh, well, I'm, you know, working for the freedom movement here, watching you guys, getting good ideas, and working, you know, in all the venues we can here. And we're passing out lots of brochures. I even pass out Freedom's Phoenix cards in Indiana.
That's beautiful. It is called the World Wide Web, you know, and even though you're in Indiana, you can still participate in Freedom's Phoenix. Anybody can, you know, if you're a journalist, if you say you are, and you participate in Freedom's Phoenix, don't you, Joan?
Yes, I do.
So tell me what's going on with you.
What
kind of stuff are you doing right now? What kind of ideas are you stealing from us?
Oh, lots of them. I was looking up quotes for you, and I found one.
Tell me a quote that is important to you.
Well, this one is important to everyone, I think. it comes from Clarence Darrow. He was an American lawyer. He lived from 1857 to 1938. And his quote is, "You can protect your liberties in this world only by protecting the other man's freedom. You can be free only if I am free."
That's funny. That was the fourth one on my list. But I think that's great. That means we're on the same page, right?
We definitely are.
I can't remember. Clarence Darrow, I'm a little bit remiss in my civics. I can't remember. He was involved in a really, really huge case, and I can't remember which one it was. But he sure had a really good idea on what individual liberty is. So what does individual liberty mean to you, Joan?
Oh, it means a lot to me. I just really believe that I should be left alone and to do what it is I feel was my God-given right in my own home. You know, as long as I don't harm others, And I'm very careful in my words when I speak to people and in how I treat people. And I just expect people, I guess I look for the goodness in others, and I expect them to give me my freedom, and I want to give them their freedom.
Right. I think if you don't aggress, you know, commit force or fraud on another, you can safely, you know, expect that someone else doesn't do that to you. Do you want to hold on, or is that it, Joan?
No, I better let you go, and I wish you luck, Jeff, and it was great to talk to you.
Great talking to you, Joan. God bless you. I'll talk to you real soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Awesome. I love Joan. We love us some Joan Lewis. She was up in Winslow. Now she's in Indiana. We come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Me, Jet Lacey. I'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car, passing by like Lady
Gaga. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And, you know, be on the lookout for me on The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacey somewhere. Now that the morning show of Ernest is gone, I'm going to be landing somewhere. I've probably done 80 or 90 shows, and I tell you what, I'm going to do it somewhere, some way, if I have to do a podcast. But I'm in the process of, you know, making my own website. I got revolutioncontinues.com, and we're building that website. It'll be up this week. Check it out. You know, we're going to be doing all kinds of news stuff, and you can look at, you know, I have a Facebook page for The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacey, and we also do the Love Police action here in Arizona. I don't know if Ernest ever talked to you about that stuff. We just go out with bullhorns and sort of talk about humans. We keep it positive with the Love Police, and we try to humanize the police, because I tell you what, I'm afraid of the police. And I decided to join, you know, the Love Police and start up an Arizona chapter because I wanted to go out and talk to the police. And I tell you, I've been very, very lucky lately with the police actions I have been to, with some of the activism I've been doing. The police are starting to come around. I believe, you know, of course, you always hear about the bad stuff in the news because, again, I don't believe the news is trying to divide and conquer. It's just another way that they're trying to drive a wedge between certain groups of individuals. And the police and regular people are definitely two groups that are very, very divided at this point. And I believe in addressing that which you are afraid head on. And then when you realize it, when you do address your fears, a lot of times you'll find that it wasn't so bad after all. You know, it's like starts out when you're a little kid going to the sixth grade dance and, you know, you try to, you know, get that first dance with a girl ever. And boy, you're so afraid to do it. And then once you get that dance, you feel pretty good afterwards. You know, when we control our fears and we try to break through our fears. You know, I know Franklin Delano Roosevelt was pretty much a globalist, and he took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard. But when he said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, I tell you what, he was right. And our fears are, you know, what we're afraid of, I get it. You know, I have my own fears, but it's how we deal with our fears that allows us to move forward. You know, fears can cripple you, but it's really you crippling yourself. And so, you know, that's all I got to say about that. But going on, talking about liberties, you know, some of these quotes are just so fantastic. And you think about the terminologies that these people use are the same terminology that we use today. You know, us in the freedom movement, we always talk about sheeple, how, you know, people just are sheep heading along to the old slaughter while the government, being the big bad wolf, doing whatever they want. And this quote from Benjamin Franklin is, you know, it goes right along those same lines. It's, make yourselves sheep and the wolves will eat you. And that's really a lot of what's going on. We're going to talk about it later, but when I looked at how much of a landslide that John McCain won by yesterday, I'm like, my God, we got a lot of work to do here. You know, we got a lot of more minds to free, because I guess we need to work harder. It's not that I want to give up. It sure is disheartening. But I tell you what, oh, God, I can't believe that people just keep voting for their own enslavement over and over and over again. It's just, it is disheartening, but, you know, what can you do? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But again, like that Clarence Darrow quote earlier, you know, I'm not going to be free unless all of you are free. And you're not going to be free unless I'm free. And that's what we have to keep working towards. We have to awaken the people to what liberties are and what they mean. And it's just like we've been so conditioned to let our government do every little thing for us. We got the nanny state going on. You'll hear that every once in a while. You know, making sure that we eat right and go to bed at the right time and go to work. And if we don't have a job, boy, they'll find a job for us. And, you know, you can't look to the government for your freedom, your safety, and your happiness, your life, liberty, and property. You have to look to yourself. And so that's pretty interesting. This is a quote I found that I loved. I don't know if any of you guys remember Paul Harvey. He's this radio great that was on the, you know, the rest of the story. He said, they have gun control in Cuba. They have universal health care in Cuba. So why do they want to come here? That's a heck of a question. You know, there's a lot of people here in this country advocating for both of those things. But yet, it doesn't work. Health care is not a right. But I tell you what, being able to protect yourself sure is. And again, it's just one more piece of evidence that these nanny state socialist sort of programs just don't work. Here's an interesting one by Sigmund Freud. You might have heard of Sigmund Freud. He's the father of psychoanalysis. Said, most people do not generally want freedom because freedom involves responsibility, and most people are frightened of responsibility. And I realize that a lot of people have a lot of responsibilities, but it's to go to a job to do what you're told and to pay your bills because you have to, and, you know, pay your credit card because it's due on this date, and to do all these things because these things have been set up for you. But real individual liberty is charting the course of your whole entire life. It's taking charge and taking full responsibility for everything that you produce on a day-by-day basis. And I tell you what, freedom is an addicting habit, just like being told what to do is. We are becoming a nation of people that are institutionalized without even being in a prison. You know, we have to really think about that. How institutionalized are we as individuals? I think it's quite a bit. I mean, just look at it. Anytime you have a little fire in your house, you get on the phone fast you can to have somebody else come take care of your business for you. If you got a burglar coming in your house, the first thing you're going to do is get on the phone and call somebody else to come handle it for you. We are trained and conditioned to do these things, and it makes us less responsible for our own lives. And this blessing of liberty that we are born with from our Creator, it can be taken away, but again, it's still there, ready for you to come take it back. It's ready. It's there for you, right there to grasp it. And again, it is going to cost something. You know, nothing is free. Even though you were born with something, there is a lot of people, like I said, that want to come and take those things away from you. And, you know, it's whether or not you let them take it. You know, and a lot of times they take these things by stealth. It's very incremental, very small. And then it doesn't mean anything at first. And it's just one of those things that, you know, little by little by little. And that's the way they set the system up. So you don't notice it as much. You know, if everybody was, told what to do all at once, You know, there'd be a revolution. There'd be a fighting part because they're trying to grab control. But what we have is very small incrementalism, and now we're getting to the point where their incrementalism has not only accelerated, it's getting to a point where we just can't follow all of the myriad rules that they have for us. So we just have to think about these things. And going back to what we were talking about, I want to read something from Frederick Bastiat. And if you've ever read Bastiat's The Law, it is a life changer. It's not that long. It's like 60 pages long. But I encourage you to read Frederick Bastiat. And he was just so brilliant in to think in along the ways of the founding fathers. And he said, sometimes the law defends plunder and participates in it. Thus, the beneficiaries are spared the shame and danger that their acts would otherwise involve. But this is how legal plunder. But how is this legal plunder to be identified? Quite simply, see if the law takes from some persons what belongs to them and gives it to other persons to whom it doesn't belong. See if the law benefits one citizen at the expense of another by doing what the citizen himself cannot do without committing a crime. Then abolish that law without delay. No legal plunder. This is the principle of justice, peace, order, stability, harmony, and logic. We come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We're going to keep talking about this for one more segment, and then we got J.T. Waldron of Fatally Flawed coming on. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Hang on down the highway and you're rushing.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And we are rushing headlong towards individual liberty. We will not be stopped, despite any of the little bumps in the road that we experience, like John McCain getting breezing past the other scumbag, J.D. Hayworth, here in Arizona yesterday, and Jim Deacon. You know, it's just really tough when you're, you know, left with picking the longest straw out of a bunch of short straws. You know what I'm saying? We're just, this is the, again, the whole system. They give us two people that are equally as scummy, and then they win either way. We're going to talk about that more in the next hour. I want to finish up talking about liberty, because I think this is so important. Like, just to think about, I don't know, like, just coursing your own destiny through life, plotting your own course, making your own way in the world. It seems so foreign to a lot of us now. It's something that even took me a few years to wrap my head around. This is, it's just a process that you go through, and you just keep, just like a 12-step program, you go day by day. I'm going to be a little bit freer today than I was yesterday. I'm going to be a little bit freer today than I was yesterday. And then pretty soon you get into a habit, the freedom habit, and you start looking at freedom for what it is and what it can give back to you. But again, we have to be responsible for our freedoms, and that's what we're doing here at Freedom's Phoenix Studios. And there's a lot of things going on here right now, and you know, there's a lot of activism going on. It's kind of busy out there, and you know, we're kind of in the back here in the studio, and you can just see all kinds of frenetic action going on, and you know, people are making a difference. And, but the thing is, it's there, everybody that comes here is in the liberty habit. And it's just like any habits, like exercising or eating right or doing whatever. You have to get into the liberty habit. And then it becomes more and gradually easier. And it's just a step by step. You know, you might get a chicken or, you know, do something to start eating, you know, better food. You know, just stop shopping at Walmart. You do one little thing now and again. You know, stop drinking sodas with aspartame and high fructose corn syrup. Any little tiny thing that you can do to better your life and to not participate in the system that is designed to enslave us, the better off you're going to be. And by you doing it, the better off I'm going to be. Because it takes a lot of little bits to make one big thing. And I know that a lot of people out there, like, you just feel like, oh my God, there's this enormity of, you know, pressure and tyranny that we're under. But we didn't get there overnight, and nor is it going to be fixed overnight. So we have to just do little by little by little, and that's why I want to talk about our individual liberties and our liberty and our freedom. There's all these are all interchangeable words that, you know, you'll never hear from the government. You know, they talk about civil liberties, but really, what is the difference between civil liberties and individual liberties? Civil liberties are government-granted freedoms. And individual liberties are God-given freedoms. So that is the difference. But they tried, again, they've changed the wordings around because words are weapons, just like this. Ideas and words are weapons. And by changing the words around to get us to talk about civil liberties, it means, oh, the king has granted you your right to free speech and to carry a weapon. But in reality, you have the right to defend yourself as a human being. You have the right to be armed against a tyrannical government because the founding fathers knew of human nature. They understood what human nature is all about, and they did the best that they could at the time to, you know, with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you know, and the Declaration of Independence more than anything. The Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights is great. You can take the rest and pitch it in the garbage for all I care, because those things have nothing to do with individual liberties. But, you know, if you look at, if you start looking at the amendments to the Constitution, first 10, pretty good. They're great. And then you start looking at the later amendments to the Constitution, not so good. You know, not so good at all. And so, you know, a lot of the later amendments to the Constitution have really diminished our liberties. And then you take the judiciary, who have really further diminished our, through, you know, interpreting the Fourth Amendment as in certain ways, and with the Patriot Act, you know, you really, it's really been sort of a weakened document. And, you know, you can't go backwards in any society. The Constitution has obviously failed. We have failed the Constitution as well. But there's one thing that is certain in any society, and that is that it will move forward. You cannot go backward. You can't go back to the Constitution. We have to move forward as a society, and we have to make sure that these abuses that have been arisen as a result of the flaws in the Constitution are rectified. You know, like the you know, the Commerce Clause. Look at what the Commerce Clause was to was created to ensure trade between the states, and it has been used as a tool to totally control our economy. So we just have to look at these things and try to just get a little bit more liberty in our lives each and every day. I want to say one more quote by Bastiat, and I think it's great, and it kind of sums up exactly what I've been talking about. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. It was the very protection of those laws, of those ideals, that caused men to make laws. Because no one goes out and starts to make laws just to enslave people. They just do it. So the laws are meant actually to protect those individual liberties, to keep people from, you know, enslaving others. And another one, when we were talking about fear earlier, Edmund Burke, who's a great writer, He said, no passion so effectually robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reasoning as fear. Fear, you cannot move forward when you're standing on your heels, when you're moving backwards, when you're worried about something. You can only move forward when you're in a forward-moving stance. And when we're afraid, what do? You go back. You lean back on your heels. We can't move forward as a society this way. So in order for liberty to take a foothold, we have to take steps forward. We have to conduct ourselves without fear. We have to conduct ourselves in a manner that we would be proud of. Because a lot of us have just been conditioned so much to be afraid of the government and afraid of the H1N1 pandemic and afraid of Mexican terrorists and afraid of drug runners and all this kind of stuff. And it's just a bunch of baloney. You know, afraid of Muslims. My goodness. You know, Al-Qaeda, I call it Al-CIA-da, you know, because it was created by CIA. It wasn't a Muslim group. It just happens that a lot of the members are Muslim because that's where they live. You know, to vilify a whole group of individuals because of the actions of a very few is so wrong. It's wrong beyond description. But yet, if you look in the news, you're going to see this vilification of a whole religion. And it just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, talking about the mosque, Noam Chomsky, who's a great, you know, American pundit and author, you know, he's a little bit, you know, a lot of ways leftist for my cares. But, you know, we understand that there's a lot of people on the very far left that realize what we have going on is largely a fascist takeover. It's a corporate takeover of the government. So we have a lot of friends, you know, us in the freedom movement and, you know, people that are freedom-oriented, freedom-minded people realize that there's a lot of people on the very far left that are well-informed, that understand exactly what is going on here in this country, except their, you know, their remedy for the situation is give more government to the power to the government. Take the power away from the corporations and give it to the government. Doesn't work out, you know, because you end up with the same thing. But he said that if we don't believe in freedom of expression for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, my name is Jet Lacy, and we are going to jump into it with the director of Fatally Flawed, J.T. Waldron. When we come back in just a minute, and then we are, again, in the third hour, we're going to talk about the election primary results in 5 states. So hold on. And again, we'd love to hear from you. 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. I would love to hear from you. I want to talk to you. Let's get it going here. 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. Be right back.